This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wang Xiaoning and Noel Lim. Now, in about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with Tama Febrian, Associate Director for Financial Institutions at Fitch Ratings, on Malaysia's digital banking licenses. First, though, we're taking a look at what's the latest news on the Wuhan coronavirus, because that has cast a shadow over Lunar New Year festivities in China. As of Sunday, there have been almost 3,000 confirmed cases of the coronavirus in China and 6,000 suspected. There have been so far 82 deaths, mostly in Hubei province.
So in a further effort to curb the spread of the disease, Chinese authorities have extended this national New Year holiday for three more days until Sunday. Shanghai has ordered its businesses to remain closed until February 9th, while schools stay closed until February 14th, Valentine's Day. And Hong Kong has also ordered schools to stay closed until February 17th.
Meanwhile, 44 cases have been confirmed outside of China in 12 different countries. I mean, 8 in Thailand, 5 in US and Australia, 4 cases in Singapore and Malaysia, Taiwan and South Korea. According to the Ministry of Health, there are 4 confirmed cases of the Wuhan coronavirus, all involving Chinese nationals who were or are on holiday here. And a further 5 patients from China are being kept in isolation while waiting test results.
So chances are your social media feeds have been bombarded with news and comments on the Wuhan coronavirus over the long weekend. So to help us distinguish fact from fiction in terms of how the virus is being detected and treated at our hospitals, we have on the line with us Dr. Suresh Kumar Chidambaram, Head of Medical Department and Consultant Infectious Disease Physician at Sungai Buloh Hospital, on the line with us. Thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Suresh. So at this stage, what do we know about this particular strain of the coronavirus in terms of how infectious it is, as well as its main symptoms?
So most of the thing that we know is from preliminary reports from China. The case report that's been published in Lancet Infectious Diseases. It says that majority of the patients who get novel coronavirus get mild fevers and some sort of a cough and dry cough and body ache, myalgia. And then they recover spontaneously within a week or so. A smaller fraction of people, let's say 30 to 40% of them, will go on to get serious disease and more severe disease. And these are mainly older age group and people who have got other medical conditions like diabetes, high blood pressure. And these are the ones that cause problems. So majority usually get better by themselves without any treatment or treatment like cough mixtures and fever medications and stuff like that.
How long does it really take to test to confirm that the patient indeed has the virus?
What happens is we when patients come in to us, we check their sputum, we do a throat swab, and then we send it to... Now, currently, 2 labs do the test. IMR, Institute of Medical Research, as well as National Public Health Laboratory in Sungai Buloh. We can get the results in 24 hours, these results most of the time. In the days to come, these tests will be available in other state laboratories. And then, of course, to cope with the, if at all there is increasing numbers, we'll have it in the state laboratories. So we're hoping that the turnaround time will be about 24 hours, within 24 hours.
And Doctor, we understand there's no vaccine for this at the moment. So in the event of more severe complications, can you tell us how this virus is treated?
So, as I mentioned earlier, most of the time, most of those do very well. They don't need any treatment. The small group, we will monitor them. If they are positive, we will keep them here. We'll monitor them. If they need oxygen, we'll give them oxygen. If they're not able to drink, we'll give them intravenous fluids. And then if they get kidney problems, we'll treat their kidney failure. So we'll treat their complications. That's the first step, right? And if necessary, we'll ventilate them. And some of them will do better with just that supportive care while the body gets rid of the virus, support the body against the virus. There are some experimental drugs that were tried during SARS. And currently, there is a big study going on in China. And the treatment will depend as the time progresses. As the longer we go further in the disease, you'll get more definitive treatment regimes. We have some treatment regimes in plan, but they are not written in textbooks or stuff like that. These are based on experiences of doctors in China. And so we will be using some antiviral drugs for this group. I can't offhand tell you now, because what I tell you now might be different in a week from now as new information emerges on what antivirals comes. So if they have severe disease, we will try using some antivirals.
Of course, Dr. Suresh, but perhaps you could elaborate a little bit on the SARS experimental drugs that you mentioned. What kind of drugs are these, and how widespread are their usage?
These are experimental drugs, as mentioned. They're used for other viral infections, for HIV, for example. There are drugs that we use for HIV that we're going to use for this. We also, those days, we used to use interferons for hepatitis C. We will use those drugs. These are the drugs that we use, some of the HIV drugs and interferons are the drugs that has been tried before in SARS. And some of the HIV drugs are being tried now in China as we speak.
And now, Dr. Suresh, there were also some concerns from the public on social media regarding the transportation of the suspected coronavirus patients from Johor to Sungai Buloh, sparking fears of contagion. So how would you respond to these concerns?
So it's not unusual that we transport patients with coronavirus. We've done it before for MERS coronavirus. It is based on the fact that the patients become extremely infectious when at the peak of their disease. So when they have very severe shortness of breath, or whether we put them on a ventilator, that's when there is maximum infectiousness. Early in the disease, infection is low. This is what we know from SARS, from MERS coronavirus and all that. So sometimes we do transport the patients early in the disease because we don't know how they're going to evolve. Now we know those three patients are still stable, but we didn't know at that time whether they'll be stable or they'll rapidly deteriorate. So while Sungai Buloh is a national referral center, we've got a ready-made team always been there ready for this, and we have practiced many times because we have practiced for MERS coronavirus, because every time there is somebody in KLIA with suspect MERS coronavirus, we take them over. So we've got a ready team here. And so that's the reason why the initial step was to take them over here while they are still very stable. They had no symptoms. And they were transported in a separate, not in a public transportation system or something, just transported on our own. And so that's the reason why we think. So, and MERS coronavirus in the early stages spreads by droplet precautions, not by airborne. Droplet means it is within a meter. It's like flu, it's in a meter. It goes out airborne early in the disease.
Dr. Suresh, but this time we have received some reports that this virus is contagious even before any symptoms are shown, right, during the incubation period. Is that correct?
Okay. Yeah, this is what one news report from the Ministry of China, but it's not backed by any other information. We don't know what's the background, because there's no information in the background. What we know about the virus is it binds to lower respiratory tract. That means it binds down near the lungs, not high up there in the nose, like what the flu virus does. It binds lower in the lower down in the human ACE inhibitors, cell receptors, ACE cell receptors, right? And so that means it takes time for it to go in there, cause a pneumonia, and then only spread. So it's our understanding of coronavirus always been the spread happens later in the disease, unlike influenza. Yes, SARS viruses can mutate. Coronaviruses can mutate along the way. SARS showed us that they can mutate and change. So whether they've changed or not, we don't know. But what we know, that what we need to act on what we know first. What we know is coronaviruses spread after patients become symptoms. Whether they'll spread before, we don't know yet. So we want to start our action based on what we know. So based on what we know, if somebody has got early symptoms back from China in the last 14 days, early symptoms, come forward, get tested, we'll find out whether you have disease or not. Even if you don't have a disease, even if they tell you your test is negative, go home, stay indoors, wear a mask until 14 days is finished. That one we know from SARS and MERS coronavirus. And we need to implement that first. And as we get more definite information whether there is asymptomatic spread, we can't act on those just based on one report. We are asking for more confirmation as to is it true? Is that contributing to the spread? We don't know what is contributing to the spread.
So if you must travel, what preventive measures can we take to avoid
getting infected? I think you should really have a very good reason to go to China currently. It's unnecessary risk.
Or even to other countries?
China, only China. Because all other countries have not shown human transmission within the country, including Malaysia. What we do is, every time we get a single patient that is positive, we go and test everybody around them. And if everybody, and then we test and see whether they're positive or not. As of now, we can't find anybody else positive. So if that is positive, and subsequently the person has given it to another person, then there is a human-to-human, sustained human-to-human transmission in that country. Then that country becomes also a hotspot. We have not shown sustained human-to-human transmission. In fact, we have not shown sustained outside Hubei province.
Sorry, Dr. Suresh, there has also been a spate of panic buying for medical face masks. Right. Is wearing a mask a necessary preventive measure, in your opinion?
It's not wrong to wear a mask in public. I mean, it prevents other diseases, influenza and all that stuff. But it become necessary when we can prove, when we have evidence that there is sustained human-to-human transmission within Malaysia. We don't have that. All our cases, all our patients so far have people who have visited Hubei province, and we have not got anybody else without that link. So we have not shown that. So when we show that, then of course we will encourage everybody to wear a mask. But currently we are hoping that we can contain it before it becomes a sustained transmission. We did that for SARS. We're doing for MERS coronavirus. We stopped the virus before it became, before it can have sustained human-to-human transmission. And if you stop it, then of course that's well and good, and that's what we're trying.
And Dr. Suresh, what other general advice can you give in terms of preventive measures that we can take against this virus? Other than even masks?
Currently, it's mainly travelers who are coming back from China. They need to be responsible. They need to wear a mask and stay indoors as much as possible. And other things, if you wear the mask, is to, you know, if you cough, you're containing the virus within the mask, right? Number two. Then the next possibility is you might contaminate your hand in the process where you're coughing and all that stuff. When you contaminate your hand, then you touch other surfaces, and of course you can spread again. So hand washing frequently or hand rub. These are two things that we need to do. And for us general public, if necessary, you can wear a mask. A lot of hand washing needs to be done, because if your hands are contaminated and then if you touch your eyes or something, you can get infected. Those are the two things. What we do for influenza, whatever we advise for influenza, works for this too.
And Doctor, how serious is this Wuhan coronavirus in comparison to SARS?
Based on fatality, meaning how patients become sick and become very ill, it seems to be less severe. Okay. But infectiousness, we don't know yet. We have not got the full picture of the infectiousness yet.
All right. Thank you very much for your insight into this this morning, Dr. Suresh. That was Dr. Suresh Kumar Chidambaram, head of the medical department and consultant infectious disease physician at Sungai Buloh Hospital. And I think that that was actually a lot of beneficial information that he gave us. So just from a preventive measure standpoint, you know, masks are not necessarily a bad thing, but at this point, most of the cases that they've seen have been coming back from China, travelers from China. So ultimately, it's exercise reasonable precautions, right? And when I say reasonable, it means don't go out and panic buy necessarily.
Yeah, I think this is something that the we are going to cover throughout the day. I mean, the bigger picture will be delving into the public policy response towards this infectious disease this afternoon on the Daily Digest with the public policy expert Dr. Kaur Swee King. I mean, they'll be discussing whether border controls, travel bans and similar containment measures related to this human movement actually have an impact on the spread of a pandemic like the Wuhan virus. And so please tune in today at 2 p.m. today.
I feel less anxious when he says that it's less serious than SARS. I guess he's also basing this on mortality rates. So far, SARS is about 10%. Right now, we're at about 3% for this Wuhan virus. But he says they still do not have the full picture on how infectious it is. But so far, it's only in China, in Hubei province, where there is some sustained transmission between humans, but not in in Malaysia and other countries yet. So I think really the concerns about people coming back from China or traveling from China to stay indoors and wear a mask if needed, and to maybe like do a self-quarantine for 14 days.
Indeed. And it's also encouraging to hear him say that, you know, the reports of this being infectious during the asymptomatic period, as he says, it's only still based on one report out of the Ministry of Health in China. So until it is backed by more reports and more research, they're acting on their previous knowledge of the behavior of coronaviruses like SARS and MERS. So we're going to be revisiting this topic throughout the day on the station, so be sure to stay tuned for more information. But up next, we'll be discussing the outcome of the genocide case brought against Myanmar at the International Court of Justice. Now, that's going to be happening after the 7:30 bulletin. Be sure to stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.